radiancy of glory, the bliss beyond compare. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy New Year and a happy start to the Advent season. Today marks the first Sunday in the church new year, like we talked about earlier. We begin again on that part of the church year that celebrates and remembers the earthly life and work of Jesus Christ. Now today, being the first Sunday in Advent, we've lit the first candle on the Advent wreath. Now that candle is often referred to as the prophecy candle. It's the candle that reminds us that the coming of Christ to earth was told ahead of time. Jesus' coming was foretold so that when it came to pass, people would remember God's promise and again be reminded of God's faithfulness. So we've lit this candle to remind us that Christ has come and God has indeed kept his promise. There's a beautiful Hebrew legend of two brothers who lived side by side on adjoining lands. One was the head of a large family, the other one lived alone. One night, the brother with a large family lay awake and he thought, "My brother lives alone. He doesn't have the companionship of wife and children to cheer his heart as I have. While he sleeps, I'll carry some of my harvest into his field." At the same late night hour, the other brother was awake and reasoned, "My brother has a large family, and his necessities are much greater than mine. As he sleeps, I'll put some of my harvest into his field." So the two brothers went out, each carrying out his plan and each laden with the harvest for the other, and met at the dividing line of their properties. And there they embraced. The legend says that years later, at that very place, stood the temple in Jerusalem. On the very spot of the brothers' meeting is where the altar of the temple stood. Now, of course, that's a legend. And it's a legend that's meant to instill the virtue of self-sacrifice. It teaches the merits of placing the needs of others before your own, of seeking the welfare of your brother above yours. And that, of course, is the very nature of what God did in sending Jesus, our brother, to the city of Jerusalem, to where the legendary brothers in the story met. Now, in today's gospel lesson, we read the story of Christ coming to Jerusalem, to the city where God meets man. It's the place where sacrifice is made, like the brothers did for each other. It's the place of atonement for sin. Now, the context of what we read was Jerusalem. Was Jesus entering Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. That's not a time we normally associate with Christmas time. But remember, we're not in Christmas time. We're in Advent. Advent is the time of preparation for the coming of Jesus. And today is about the prophecy of Christ coming, as was promised, to do the work of salvation. That work was done at Jerusalem. But before that saving work was done at the end of the week that we read about, Jesus had come to Jerusalem many times before. Jerusalem is the place where things that are absolutely core to our religion happen. But we don't need to go there ourselves for our religion to be authentic. our touchstone, the location of the intersection between God and us, is not the place where the core events happen. Yes, the place is significant, but it is not what we need in order to worship, in order to meet God. The place of touching God for us has moved from Jerusalem. The place has shifted. For us, the place of meeting God is now in the person of Jesus Christ. When Jesus came to Jerusalem, he entered as the sacrifice. He came as the Son of David, as the Lamb of God who'd come to take away the sin of the world. He came to Jerusalem, and he did that work on the cross, dying the innocent death in the place of sinful mankind. He came in fulfillment of the promises of God, the prophecies, as the candle on the Advent wreath reminds us of today. And when Jesus left Jerusalem, he left as the victor, the conqueror. He moved the place where we touch God from the stones and mortar of the temple to the bread and blood of himself. We don't need to go to Jerusalem to be touched by God. That now happens for us through the person of Jesus Christ coming to us in word and baptism and Holy Communion. When you come and you take communion, you receive the fullness of the true body and blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself, by his word of promise, comes here. And he meets you. We don't need to go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem has come to us. And in Jesus coming to us, in Jerusalem coming to us, we've been given the power to freely live life in faithful service to the one who kept his promise to us and to the entire world. We then strive to keep our promises of faithful living and service and love to one another as Christ has kept his promise to us. In so doing, we seek to prepare for his coming again so we may all be ready with our own glad hosannas. Most of us are familiar with the fate of the city of Pompeii in the Bay of Naples in Italy. It was destroyed in 79 AD by a volcano. The ruins of the city have been carefully excavated. And it's clear that most of the people tried to flee the city during the volcanic eruption, but the hot poisonous gases overcame everyone. At the city gate, however, excavators found the skeleton of one man who didn't try to flee the eruption. He was a Roman guard who remained at his post with both of his hands on his weapon. Even when the ground on which he stood trembled and shook and the fiery ashes descended on the city, he remained faithfully at his post. We too remain faithfully at our post, faithful to the work the Lord Jesus has given us to do, even if the world shakes under our feet and goes to pieces around us. When the Lord again keeps his promise and again comes to earth, may he find us faithfully striving to do his will and to live lives faithful to the one who has made peace with God for all people. And yet again, we do his will not out of fear or a compulsion so we may earn heaven, but to respond in joyful service so as to be prepared gladly for his return. Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the city, has completed its role as the place where peace with God for all people everywhere has been accomplished. Our brother, Jesus, has sacrificed himself there for us. He came to Jerusalem as the sacrifice. He left Jerusalem as the victor. And he moved the location of where we place our trust from the city to him alone. Now, remember, when Jesus ascended from earth to heaven, it was not from Jerusalem, but it was from a different mountain. That's hugely significant. It's not that Jerusalem was no longer important, but as we said, its importance has been overshadowed by the cross. The cross where Jesus died transferred, if you will, the place of our faith. God's promise has been fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, not in the place of Jerusalem. Yes, Jerusalem still plays a part, but for us, it now represents what Jesus has done. He is the new Jerusalem in Revelation 21 that will return from heaven. Jerusalem has now been made perfect and complete and whole because that is what Jesus has accomplished by coming as prophesied and as promised, fulfilling the work of the Lamb of God who came to Jerusalem to take away the sins of the world. Remember, we said that Jesus came to Jerusalem many times. Today, he came as the sacrifice, yes. But before that, he came as the teacher during his 3 years of ministry, his earthly ministry. He came before that to Jerusalem as a boy. Remember the boy Jesus remaining behind in the temple after the family had gone up for the Passover. Jesus, the boy, came to Jerusalem and to the temple to be, as he said, in my Father's house. And Jesus also came to Jerusalem as an infant. He came on the eighth day after his birth, brought there to the temple by Joseph and Mary to be circumcised according to the law. And in doing that, by shedding his blood in circumcision, they began the process. The process of Jesus fulfilling the law for us. For all of us, that was finished by shedding his blood on the cross. Jesus completes all the stages of the law, beginning on the eighth day after his arrival on earth, which arrival we're looking forward to, celebrating when Advent ends and Christmas arrives. Advent helps us to remember that Jesus kept God's promise and came to earth, came to Jerusalem. He comes to us still through his promise to be with us in all the stages of our lives. He promises to come to us in word and water, and bread, and wine. Remember the legend of the two brothers and the virtue of self-sacrifice. Remember the value of placing the needs of others before your own. Remember the soldier at his post and the importance of remaining faithful. Remember, Christ has been faithful to us. And faithfulness is what God demonstrated in sending Jesus, our brother, to the city of Jerusalem. That's what Advent is for us. The reminder that God keeps his promise to come to us. That's the significance of the prophecy candle we lit today. It reminds us that Jesus keeps all his promises. Throughout all the days, all of our days, God comes to us just as Jesus came to Jerusalem. We put our hope and faith in him. And we pray, Maranatha, come again, Lord Jesus, and come swiftly. Amen. May the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock.